Motor Rabbi Sai, let's from the late Parsha Shmois. We start a new Sefer Motor Rabbi Sai. What a great honor to be able to do that here in the Holy Eretz Yisrael. Next week, we'll see what happens, but I won't be with you unless I want to wake up very early and do a video conference with you. But we have a very important message. Baruch Hashem. Thank you to Hashem for allowing me to remember something from a number of weeks ago. And I filed it in my mind and actually remembered it last night when I was struggling to find something to speak to you about. I'd really try my best. There is something that applies to everyone, and I think this one is a doozy in a good way. And weeks ago, one of the inspiring speeches, which I actually did mention after the horrible massacre in Pittsburgh, which Baruch Hashem, we definitely have learned from, gleaned from. Many beautiful things were done since then. But as I told you then, and I'll tell you again, one of the inspiring speakers during that tragedy, as you know, was in the United States then. I heard about it, unfortunately, when I was on a Shabbaton from some of our workers who were giving us the play-by-play, Rachmanu Litzlan, about what was happening. One of the more inspiring speeches that I heard was that of Rabbi Eitan Feiner. He was a rabbi of the White Shul. It means a lot to me. It's where I had my bar mitzvah. What an amazing, amazing speaker. And he continued. He must have, I don't know, four or five speeches on this. And he keeps speaking about this so beautifully. I'm going to use that Devar Torah that he used. But first, the topic is what defines a leader. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the quintessential leader, obviously for the Jewish people, but really for everyone. And we know where he came from. And we know the beginnings of the parasha. We know the Medrash that tells us that Amram, the father of Moshe Rabbeinu, got divorced from his wife. And it had Nisuim Shenis. They had to get married again. It was Miriam who convinced him that your gezer is worse than Paro. Paro just wants to kill the boys. You want to kill boys and girls because you won't even stay married and continue having children. And of course, what came from it was the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam received a tremendous reward. It's funny because I'm studying with my son for his test by Parshas Shlach, right? Ba'aloyscha Shlach. So we learn about what happened, the chait of Miriam, and how all B'nai Yisrael waited for her because of this moment when she waited for her brother by the sea. The Altar of Kelm explains that we don't learn much about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe comes onto the scene at 80 years old. 80 years old, Rabbi. So you got a lot of time. You're okay. At 80 years old, so you do something good. As Naim Latorah points that out, he says it's a tremendous chizuk when we learn what Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished from 80 and on. But then when you find out that he, lived so long, okay, fine, okay, whatever. But still. But we have a number of incidents. The Altar of Kelm says, let's go to the incidents that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? And he becomes famous on the scene. Okay? Later on. But where did he get this from? So I'm going to tell you the scene. I'm going to draw up the scene for you. So the first of the stories, if I'm not mistaken, is by the Aliyah of Shlishi, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes out, Vayhi b'yamim ahem, Vayigdal Moshe. He grows up, and he leaves the palace. And he, Vayetze el achi vayar besiv loisam. He feels for them. We're going to quote this a little bit later. I apologize. I know we're 4 minutes in, but of course, I cannot continue without dedicating this year for the many cholim in this world, but specifically those that are cholim because of the terror attacks of recent days, weeks. We continue to daven for them, especially Nissan al Ilan, Ben Shena Tzipora, an American boy who, Mirtz Hashem, should have a full recovery, but unfortunately is not doing very well. Although great, great, just amazing how when people learn Torah with him, and when they sang Kabbalah Shabbos with him, the Shabbos, so his breaths per minute increase. So he clearly knows what's going on. Somebody puts tefillin on him, and his blood pressure got higher. So the Rebbeinu Shlom should send him a refuah shleima besoch shar chol Yisrael. And Mirtzah Hashem, if I don't forget, I will tell something important about him a little bit later on. And of course, we continue with Dam Rashir Yael bat Liora Sora and Amichai Yishai ben Fega, the amazing Ishran family who have been so inspirational in light of their great tragedy as well. Rebbeinu Shlom should send everyone all these chaylim or refuah shleima. So, what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Moshe Rabbeinu comes onto the scene. The first thing is, says the Altar of Kelm, he cares about other individuals. Rashi says, Nosan Einu V'libo Liyos Mitzar Alehem. He distresses together with them. The next pasuk says, Vayifen Kova Kova Yarki Ein Ish. He sees there's nobody there. This doesn't mean what we think. There's nobody there, and therefore he can kill the Mitzri. No! He sees there's no one there and says, nobody cares about this Jew? Nobody cares? There's no Jew that's going to help a Jew that's getting killed? I have to do something. Despite the fact he knew that it would be a problem. Let's remember, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. Paro still likes him. He convinced Paro to give them a day off. They work 7 days a week. And he convinced them that Shabbos should be the day that they're going to rest, because if they don't rest, they're just going to all die. You're not going to make all your money, Paro. And he listened to him. But he says, I can't continue. Next pasuk. There are two Jews that are fighting with each other. We know Dusan the Avirim they were, and this is where he got in real trouble. And he says, I can't. What are you doing? How are the Jews fighting? Where is everyone? And then a little bit later on, because now he has to run away, we see that this is not just a thing with Jews. Because later on, the Pasuk tells us, this is all in Perek Bet, but later on we see, a few psukim later, not so much later on, that he saves them. And he gets there and he says, get away, what are you doing? Why are you bothering these girls? They saved us. Says the Altar of Kelm, that defines who Moshe Rabbeinu was. The four incidents that we're introduced with him, and one can add, or my friend actually adds this, Rabbi Fran says, and the snet itself was because he saw the snet only because he was going after a sheep. So it wasn't just Jews, it wasn't just human beings, it was animals also, you didn't want it to go astray. He says it's the concept of noisin ba'ol chavev. He cares about the plight of his fellow Jew, his fellow human, his fellow animal. Where did he learn this from? So says the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, Rav David Pavarsky. Look at the difference. I actually heard this from Rav Lau. Yisrael Meir Lau said this exact idea. He says, let's look at the difference. He says, I'm not judging. This is what Rav Lau says. I'm not judging. But look at the story of Hagar. What happens with Hagar? Hagar sees, is sent out of her house. Yishmael is dying of thirst. And what does she do? She leaves him under a tree. And she says, I can't bear to look at him. Okay, we can't understand. But what does Miriam do? Miriam does the opposite. Miriam waits there. She waits, as the pasuk tells us. So when you want to know, where did Moshe get this from? Oh, what a family did he have. What a family. Batitzav! What is going to be with this child? After all, she was the one who came up with the idea that her father should remarry and have a child. And the father was right. He had a boy. The father said, see, Miriam, I told you. Now he's just to die. No, he's not going to die. She was watching him. What would happen if one of Paro's henchmen come and sees her and says, why are you watching him? And they find this and they see that it's not drowning. And they said, you did it. She would get in trouble also. No, I can't. No, he said, ba'ol chaveiro. I care. She emphasizes with him. Amazingly, something we might not have known. We might have never thought about this. Very, very beautiful. So now, finally, the baby's crying, we think. Maybe. I'm going to say maybe for a moment. You'll see why. Because the pasuk says, what? She goes, and what does she see? She sees a na'ar boche.
V'hine nar bocheh.
First it says that she sees a yeled and a nar. What is a nar?
Nar is a youth.
Says the Baal HaTurim, you know what nar bocheh is? The gematria, he likes to use the gematrias. Zeh Aaron HaKohen. Zeh Aaron HaKohen. Not Moshe. The Medrash tells us this was not Moshe Rabbeinu. She heard the crying of the brother because the brother was also there. Aaron HaKohen was also standing there. The little boy. Miriam was 5 years old. Aaron was 3 years old. Amazing children. The threat of death, they didn't care. He was crying. He says, oh my brother, please let him live. And because she heard Nois Ba'ol Chaveiro, that crying, she found in its history from there. But the story continues, Rabbi Yisai. What made Moshe into a leader? Yes, he had a great upbringing. Because it was Miriam, sister and the brother, who taught him what it meant. And his first incidents were, those incidences really taught him amazing stuff. But says Rabbi Feiner, it was a lot more than that. And this to me just sat with me. It gave me nechama. I was driving back from this Shabbaton I was on. And I had the Baruch Hashem a lot of time in the car to listen. And this was the first year that came up. And I said, you need some nechama sometimes. And let's go back to the pasuk that we quoted. We began with the pasuk, again in Shlishi, that says the following. Vayi b'yom ha'mahein, vayigdal Moshe, vayotzal achi, vayomer tziv lo'isom. He got older. You know what had happened when you become a gadol? You define who you are. And he saw b'siv lo'isom. I quoted the Rashi. Rashi says, vayar b'siv lo'isom. Nothing ain't up. Libo. His libo. It wasn't just that he saw and did nothing. His heart felt for it. He focused on the mitzar aleihem. He's with them. Instead of noisev ol chaveru, his definition is, as we'll see in a moment, he was with them mitzar. Imo enochi mitzar. Pasuk, of course, of David HaMelech. He was with them in the tzar. That's what defined him. That's who he was. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. Amazing. He was corrupted, if you will, in the palace of Paro. You would think he could have a great life. He wasn't going to get kicked out of the Paro's palace. He wasn't. His heart, he saw and he said, I can't look away. This is terrible. I have to do something. It's going to risk my entire who I am, my richness in it. I don't care. I'm with them, Bitsar. No Yisabu al Chaveiru. But the pasuk continues. The pasukim tell us he goes and he marries, and then amazingly, look at what it says. Vayaba yomim ha'im harabim ha'im vayimat melech mitzrayim v'yanu b'netzam v'yavodach chazak v'yisak. And what happened? There was tremendous, right? Maybe ein muktel murchel l'toyra. The king of Egypt dies. Umin avad v'yitzak v'yital, and it got even worse. And they cried out to Hashem, Vayishma Elokim. What does Hashem do first? He listens to them. Esnakasam, Vayizkor Elokim. And he remembers them as Brisi, Avram Yitzhak for Yaakov. And then, the key. Vayira Elokim es b'nei Yisrael, Vayidu Elam says, Aleihem. He saw, says Rashi, very important Rashi. Vayida Aleihem. Noisen Aleihem Lev. We just quoted that Rashi before. It wasn't that he just saw his heart, Kiviyachol, Rabbanu Shalom's heart, focused upon them. And he said, I'm not going to hide my eyes from you. I'm going to save you. One more pasuk. The snap. This is it, Rabbi Yisai. This is the story. Moshe is revealed. The Rabbanu Shalom reveals him. Did you ever wonder? You want to make something really cool? You have to make a miracle. I'm not questioning God. A snap, a bush. Let's have a tree. Adam kiyes asada. Right? We're like tree. There would be a great vort, you could say. Adam kiyes asada, and it burnt, and it wasn't. Why a bush? Why not a big, huge tree? Everybody was singing from fire. Moshe comes over. So says Rashi. Good question. Mitoch hasneh? Why a thorn bush? Velo ilan acher? Mishum? Are you ready, Rabbi Isai? Imo anochi bitzara. Because he wanted to say, I'm coming down from the pasuk before. My lave, kibiyachal, hurts. I want to show you I'm not up there like a tree. I'm down here like a bush. Imo anochi bitzara. I'm together with you in distress of what is happening to the Jewish people. Moshe, you want to be a great leader? I'm teaching you a lesson. You must be Imo anochi bitzara, a pasuk in Tehillim. God shares the distress of Israel, of who Bnei Yisrael. Not just a bush of thorns. That's what the Mizrahi said. Toisus Hasholim quotes, a thorn bush, kibiyachol, I feel it. It hurts me. It hurts myself. God shows that He shares in the distress of what Bnei Yisrael is going. But wait, it's going to get even better. How can you have all this Torah and it's getting even better? How can it be? It will. Says Refiner, the Gra says, why this choice word? Why does the Pasuk say, look it up in Tehillim. We say it. Imo anochi batzar. Why say imo? Why should say ito anochi batzar? Ito, I'm with him. Imo, he writes, says the Gra, connotes, I'm really with him, together with him. I'm there in the tsar. Imo, here, hold my hand. Ito is, I'm with him. I feel bad. Imo, he says, I'm holding the hand. I'm holding the hand. But it gets even better. Why Anochi? Should say, you want to say Imo? Fine, we'll do Imo. Ani Betzara. Ani, the eye says the Malbim of God reveals Himself to Avraham Avinu. Right? Says what is Ani Hashem Kelsha? I am God. So he says no. Says the Malbim. Anochi says something else. Anochi says, you know what he says? Anochi is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Elokecha. God, when He reveals Himself to Bnei Yisrael, the one time He says the Dibra, everybody's going crazy. The Ribbono Shel Olam reveals. He says, I have a chiddush for you. Says the Malbim, Anochi's Loshon Chiddush. You know what the chiddush is? To Avraham Avinu, I couldn't expect, I mean, he was going to invent monotheism. Like, I just told him, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. But Anochi, you know what Anochi means? Anochi means, I'm Hashem and Elokecha. I'm with you with Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Loshon Rachamim, but Elokim also, Elokecha also. When times are tough, I'm also with you. That's the Chiddush. David HaMelech, of his infinite wisdom, uses these two Lashonos, and he says, Imai, I pick you up, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to hold your hand, even when you're a Besara. Anochi, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, even if it's Elokecha, even if it seems to be so difficult, I'm with you. That defines who we have to be. That defines what a leader is, Rabbi Isai. How do we do that? These are the stories. We spoke about this. We'll speak about it again. You had a tragedy. You have tragedies that happen. You have difficulties. How do you respond? We spoke about this last week, I believe. Do you continue your life or you do something? Do you care? I'm speaking to myself more than you, so please don't take it. I feel bad about this, why I'm saying it. Did I go to the Shiva house? Did you get on a bus? You couldn't do this? And go to Yerushalayim? For somebody from Beit Shemesh, did you do that? I didn't do it. Did you go to Ashkelon, a family Nebuch? There wasn't a lot of people that visited the family. Did you go? You know what the answer is. Imo Anochi Betzara. Are you? But maybe you're going to say, Rav Hartzman, but you know what I did do? I couldn't do that. But I learned from him. I took during the break, I took a half hour. I said, Nebuch. There's someone who's American, who's my age, and he's sick. Netan Ilan, Ben Shenet Zipporah. I'm going to do something for him. I was very inspired. I saw a list of 400 names. 400 names. of women who took Hafrashas Challah. 400 people for him. And I looked at just where these people were from. Just reading you a few. Johannesburg, Ramat Beit Shavuot, Ra'anana, Yerushalayim, Silver Spring, Maryland, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Passaic, New Jersey, Herzliya, Lakewood. Everywhere. Do they know? Does anybody in this? Maybe 10%, maybe 5%, maybe 1% actually know this boy. 400, I'm sure it could be even more, but I'm saying 400 people saw this post on Facebook. Huh? That's a Jew. I'm with you. I'm holding your hand. I'm going to try something. Let me do something. Sometimes you go to Shiva House and you just sit there. That's what a Jew is. I'm with you in your tzara. Just want to end off with a great story. My friend tells this story. I'm not going to go through, we don't have time to tell the whole story, but it's a great story about Howard Schultz, the chairman of Starbucks. We had a boy here a few years ago. His father works very closely with him. He told me some very great stories about him. So he tells the story that there was a CEO mission a number of years ago in Eretz Yisrael. And they went to visit high tech and all these things to get these, I believe it was Jewish CEOs, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Jewish CEOs, certainly Howard Schultz is. And they go into Meir Sharim, this is direct from Howard Schultz. He says that he went to Meir Sharim with a group of businessmen. And they had the opportunity to have an audience alone just with Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Meir. I never heard of him. I didn't know anything about him. So we waited there, and we waited 10 for 15 minutes for him. What nobody prepared us for, if anybody ever met Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, is that he was severely afflicted with Parkinson's, to the point that he couldn't stop shaking. He sat down at the table, and naturally, everybody tried to look away. And if you knew Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, his first thing he said was, "Look at me! Look! I'm talking to you!" And he's shaking. His speech was affected by this as well, by the way. It was hard to listen and to watch him. "I only have a few minutes," he says. "I know you're really busy American businessmen." He said, just a little dig there. Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, where did you go to school? I had a crown. He said, "I'll ask you a small question. Ready? Here's the question. Easy question. Who can tell me what the lesson of the Holocaust is?" They were like, "What?" He called on one guy. He didn't know what to say. Like being called on in fifth grade, not knowing the answer. So the guy says something like, "We will never, ever forget." The rabbi completely dismissed that. I felt terrible for the guy until I realized that he was going to ask someone else. All of a sudden, there was a sort of trying to look to get under the table. "Please don't call on me. I was sweating." But he did not call on me. He called on another guy, and he gave a fantastic answer. He said, "We will never, ever again be a victim or bystanders." The rabbi said, "You just don't get it." He says, "Okay, gentlemen, let me tell you the essence of human spirit. As you know, during the Holocaust, the people were transported in the worst inhumane ways by rail car. They thought that they were going to work in a camp, and we all know that it was a death camp. After hours and hours of inhumane corral with no light, no bathrooms, freezing cold, they arrived in the camp. The door swung open. They were blinded by the light. Men separated from women. Mothers separated from their sons. V'chulu v'chulu." And where does it take us to? He says, takes us to what happened after that. "It's now time to go to sleep." And says Rav Finkel, they went to sleep. And when they went into their sleeping area, only one out of six people had a blanket on those disgusting beds they were given. When a person received the blanket, he grabbed it. And you know what he did? He said, "I'm going to push the blanket to the five other people who didn't get one." Or, "Am I going to pull it towards myself so that I stay warmer at night?" It was during that moment we learned the power of human spirit, says Rav Finkel. because they pushed the blanket to the five other people. And with that, he stood up and he said, take your blanket, take it back to America and push it to five other people. He taught them the ultimate lesson. A Jew is defined as noise ba'ol chaveiro. Imo anochi batzara. I am with you. I don't know how, I don't know, but I'm going to do something. I am not going to let a tragedy, and it doesn't have to be a Jewish tragedy, I'm not going to let a tragedy just go past. I'm going to do something. I want to show that this bothers and affects me. I said this last week, I'll say it again. Imagine if you, this bracha in Shimon Esrei, this is because of this Kaddush that died. I now do Netilas Yadayim with a little bit more understanding because of the Kaddushim in Pittsburgh. I'm closer. Something. I write a letter. I wrote an email to the family. I did something. If you don't do something, it's a problem, Rabbi Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest leader because that's who defined him. He didn't care what would happen to him. He had to run away the threat of death. He says, I don't care. I can't let. He looked ko-va-ko. Nobody was doing anything. Rabbi Yisrael, that's the message we have to take. And Mitzvah Hashem should be zeichet to take this message. Noise ba'ol chaveiro, that I care. And with that, Mitzvah Hashem, you will bring us great nachas for many years to come. And obviously, if we truly have that achdus, we will bring Mashiach Sukeinu b'mehera v'yameinu.